In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Word for Life. My name is Mark Widmer, and I'm joining Pastor Ken Keltner as we are making our way through the book of Revelation. Right now, we are looking at chapter 11. And again, Revelation is this last book of the Bible. It is God telling us ahead of time what He is going to do on the earth and in heaven in the short history. We believe this could happen, be kicked into motion at any time. We know it's an accurate record of God, and we're in chapter 11. So we are looking at the end of the trumpet judgments. The seventh trumpet is what we're building up to. And Pastor Ken, last time you talked to us about Dwight Pentecost, the famous Bible teacher, and how in his book, Thy Kingdom Come, how he outlined and built up to this particular chapter that we're looking at here. So last time, we talked about creation, God creating everything in seven literal days, and everything was good. It was wonderful. It was perfect. But then, shortly thereafter, sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, and their, at least on Adam's part, a direct disobedience to God, and sin entered the world. His third point was the kingdom of Satan at that point, that the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the darkness, having influence. And then his fourth step, the promise of God, though, to Satan, your rule, your reign is temporary. You think maybe that you are going to be equal with God, but God tells him in Genesis chapter 3:15 that I'll put enmity between you and the woman, as a prophecy of Jesus Christ. You will bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. Pastor Ken?
Well, let's continue on in this build-up to Revelation chapter 11. So the fifth aspect would be the nation of God. The nation of God is Israel. Mm-hmm. And God has entrusted the knowledge of himself to these people, this nation that he set apart, the nation of Israel. He gives them the account of creation. He gives them the law of God, the promise of the Messiah through them. The Messiah is going to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. He's going to come through them.
Yep.
And he has come. And that's where they would today differ with us. Mm-hmm. They think he's still yet to come. No, Jesus, Messiah, came. And he came to them one day, and he gave his life. And one day, he's coming back to establish his kingdom on the earth with them. But then you follow it up with the sins of the nation. Israel was enslaved by Egypt, Assyria by Babylon, Greece, Rome, all took care of Israel. They conquered them. So this little nation was to be his witness, yet it fell into darkness and idolatry again and again. Yeah. And again, and God's answer was Messiah. Messiah comes. He comes preaching. He comes doing miracles. He demonstrated that he was God come in the flesh. He was the visible of the invisible God. The wise man came and asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? The rulers, Caiaphas, Annas, Herod, their Pilate, and their followers, they whipped him. They beat him, they spit on him, they mocked him, they put a crown of thorns on him, and hung him on a cross with a sign over him which read, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Well, the Jews didn't like that sign. They wanted Pilate to do away with it, but he said, I've written what I've written, leave me alone, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And someone once said, boy, every time we get talking about the cross, it moves me to tears. And I always look at him and go, if the cross won't move you to tears, my friends, I don't know what would.
Yeah.
Then we see our redemption. That's why Christ came. Our redemption was paid on the cross where Jesus suffered. He suffered the wrath of God. In fact, remember, one of his sayings on the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus satisfied the wrath of God through the shedding of his own blood because he was a perfect sacrifice. He met the standard that God required. And thus, Jesus simply said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And so thus, once we're saved, we become his witness. And then we look at this ninth aspect building up is the rapture. Friends, we believe that can happen at any time. I don't know why maybe 7 o'clock stands out to me this morning, but well, can you imagine if 7 o'clock this morning, boosh, we're caught up to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Believers on the earth will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. This is not his second coming. His second coming is he comes down to the earth. Just like his first coming, he came to the earth. This, though, is his coming in the air, which, Pastor Mark, I thought interesting that Satan is considered the prince and power of the air.
Yeah.
And Jesus is going to come right in his domain and say, I'm catching up my people. And then God, when believers are caught up to heaven, then God's going to begin what we know of as the day of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation. And God is going to send judgments to get man's attention, but really to no avail. Which leads us right here now to Revelation 11, the last trumpet. This is where I'm told Dr. Pentecost would begin to weep. You say, why? Well, when he gets to verse 15, he would say, it's time for the hallelujah chorus. The prophecy of Psalm 2 is fulfilled. The king has come to establish his earthly ministry, his earthly reign now. And he will crush the nations with a rod of iron, and he will shatter them. Have you ever looked at the thickness of your Bible? I mean, if you're at a place right now and you're studying with us, look at your Bible. Look how thick it is. Would you, in writing the Bible, make it as thick as it is in trying to reach mankind? No one can say at the end of this book that we know of as the Bible that God's not patient or God's not good. No one can say after reading God's word and God's book that man is not wicked. But it's the glory of God that shines forth with truth, with hope, that through Jesus Christ, our Savior, he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And my friends, it would be a mistake for us to forget to look back at God's faithfulness. One of the greatest affirmations in all of Scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 1:9, which simply says, God is faithful.
Amen.
For now, we can look ahead, living in light of his future promises. And so when we see the seventh trumpet, and it sounds, it will reveal the seven bowl judgments. The trumpet is sounded for us here in verse 15, but the events surrounding the trumpet aren't revealed until chapter 15. But here in chapter 11, we see the proclamation of victory. Why don't you read verse 15 for us, Pastor Mark?
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
You wonder what John's, when this is being revealed to him, what his expectations about the seventh trumpet, I mean, his emotions with it. I mean, on one end, man, total excitement. I mean, here it is. It's finally here. But then on the other side of that, dread, like something unlike what any Christian may face simultaneously, this great joy and then dread. The mystery of death, the hope of heaven. But make no mistake, when the seventh angel sounded, a colossal moment of the final events are now set in motion. And chapter 10 and verse 7 states, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. The climax of Christ establishing his kingdom is going to be complete. Because up to this time, the world has actually been ruled by Satan. Can't we see it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the attacks on God, the attacks on Jesus, the attacks on the Bible, and it just keeps getting stronger and stronger today. The world's systems are under the thumb of Satan. That's why there's such excitement of victory right here in chapter 11. Some translations have kingdoms, plural, others have kingdom singular. The truth is that all the kingdoms will come under the rule of one kingdom and under the headship of our Lord God and Messiah. That dual phrase, of our Lord and of his Christ, recalls for us the previous preferences to the one sitting on the throne together with the Lamb. That was back in chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it echoes really the strong language of chapter 2. Pastor Mark, why don't you read for us the first two verses there of Psalm 2.
Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
And later on in that same chapter, God actually laughs.
Yeah.
God laughs at what they're trying to do.
Yep.
See, Christ, my friends, doesn't claim his royal rights until he returns in his second coming. But I'm telling you, the victory's already been won. Remember when Satan offered him the world's kingdoms back in Matthew chapter 4 and those temptations on Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus refused the offer. Instead, he died for us on the cross, arose, and he ascended victoriously into heaven, and there the Father has given him his inheritance. Notice the time of his reign. I love how you put that emphasis there when you're reading it. Forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My friends, aren't we glad of that? When the Lord takes over, nobody is going to push him off the throne.
Yeah.
There will be no end to his reign.
Mm-hmm.
And so now worship flows out of the wonders of God's revelation. We'll start on this jubilation of praise you see in verses 16 and 18. We might not get through it all the way here in this broadcast, but we'll pick it up. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. One moment the elders are sitting on the thrones, and the next minute they're face down worshiping the God of glory. Their response here is spontaneous. It's just pure praise. This is what true worship's all about. Whether we're singing, we're praying, we're studying, we're testifying, or serving, it's all worship as we recognize the greatness of God and submit as willing servants to His majesty and His will in each of our lives. And I hope and I pray for you, friends, that all of us will today, at some point, be able to just spontaneously go to God, give Him thanks for all He's done, and prayer for our country, for our families, and that the gospel will go forward in a great way. Thank you for joining us today. We'll pick it up here in chapter 11 in our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.